Radio. I'm your host tonight. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. It's an awesome place up here, otherwise known as UFO Central or Paranormal Central. Tonight's guest, we have Brad Steiger. I don't know what to say about Brad. His work is just, there's so much to it. I think he has 154 books out there, 17 million copies. Brad, are you with us?
I am here, James. Nice to be with you.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on our show. This is, I mean, I'm reading your website here and all the books you've written, and I think I've read most of them.
Well, bless your heart.
Yeah. But I just ate that stuff up as a kid, you know, but...
Now you're making me sound like the old man I am.
Yeah, well, I'm still a kid. You know, I don't do age. You know, age is boring.
No. Who does age?
Yeah. But some of these books are amazing. The tonight I was wondering about, you know, I wouldn't even know. There's so much information here. I don't even know where to start, because you've covered almost everything from the paranormal to UFOs to I guess Judy Garland, Jim Thorpe,
right.
You know, I mean, everybody. But this show's mainly about, you know, the paranormal and you know, moving on, you know, into the UFO sections, and also the higher consciousness and energy and what's happening there.
Right.
Do you have any insights as to where you think things are going right now?
Well, I think, you know, right now we are being bombarded with the Mayan prophecies. 2012, is the world going to end? You know, are we going to splinter into space? I don't think there's any question, and I know you will agree with me, James, that we are definitely in a period of transition.
Mm-hmm.
But while an old world is dying, a new world is being born. And we have to, as responsible citizens of this planet, be prepared to become citizens of this new world that we will enter, whether we're ready or not. It's going to happen. We see the signs of change all around us. We can't deny them. Now, I know you will probably share a chuckle with me. Just this last week, a publisher contacted me and asked if I'd be interested in doing a book on 2013, you know, to predict what's going to happen after. And I said, no, prophecy, I mean, that to me would just be guesswork. I mean, it would be, you know, we look around us, you know, we look at our PCs, our personal computers, and, you know, it's just a few years ago when I was teaching in college, and the college got its first computer to handle student solicitations. And it was an entire room. I mean, it filled an entire room. And only, I think, two people were allowed to enter that sacred room where the great God computer existed. And we've seen pictures of earlier computers, you know, that were as big as buildings. And in 2001 Space Odyssey, even Arthur C. Clarke had, you know, HAL as big as the whole ship, practically, the whole spaceship. And now we have little pods and computers that fit, you know, in our palms. I think the idea of trying to project and predict, I mean, it's not my game. I want to concentrate on what we are as human beings and our potential as human beings, and I'll leave the technology to others.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of information just coming in from other realms, you might say, about these shifts that we're going into, and just incredible energy
mm-hmm.
shifts happening,
mm-hmm.
and how they're working through what they call the field, you know, which is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness.
Exactly. And as soon as we recognize that there is only one consciousness, is only one spirit, is only one great spirit, you know, the more we'll be able to live in peace as brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this duality consciousness that we've had thrust upon us, you might say, it's so hard for people to even comprehend unity consciousness, but all the physics, everything is going in that
mm-hmm.
direction. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny it that, you know, quantum physics, even regular physicists are now under that understanding that, you know, everything's connected.
Everything is connected. Everything is one. I know, I remember back when I was teaching in college, which has now been many years ago, but I never had difficulty communicating with the advanced physicists and advanced mathematicians on the staff. But the rank and file of physicists seem to have a great deal of difficulty kind of keeping up with us, don't they, Jane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they wrote those books, and they don't want to go back and change the books. So, they're going to keep the status quo going and, you know, come down heavy on anybody using their authority, you know, to squash anybody with something that steps outside of their book, you might say.
Well, unfortunately, that's true in so many areas, isn't it? Whether
it's
the true nature of humankind, whether the true historicity, how old we are as a
mm-hmm.
species, who we are as a species, all those things I know fascinate the two of us, and I know many of the people who are listening to us now want to know. They want to find answers. And they're tired of being told, you know, shut up, pay attention, and, you know, to listen to what I say. They want to explore, and I know that I certainly do, and I know you do, encourage others to find out things for themselves, to
exactly.
start questioning.
Well, you know, it goes back to authority, you know, like what is the authority? You know, we look to NASA to be the authority in space, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't tell us the truth. We all know that.
Yeah.
You know, we look to SETI to find, you know, to be on top of finding out about UFOs and extraterrestrial life and everything. But, you know, some of those guys have been dogging me for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have so much footage of UFOs. I mean, I've totally outgunned them, and we have no funding, you know. So I said...
Well, I know.
Yeah, I said, hey, I tell you what. I said, I'll put all my footage down of all the UFO activity here, 60 hours of it, and you put down your footage, and we'll see who wins the contest, and whoever wins gets the funding. And
I bet you didn't get any takers.
No, and I said, and all the footage goes into public domain.
Mm-hmm.
It's released to everybody. And so it's called the NASA and SETI Challenge. And, you know, of course, not one of them took up the gauntlet, you know, or the challenge. So, you know, it's kind of sad that it seems like our whole system now seems to be based on a paradox or a lie, you know. Like the Defense Department, you know, it's really the Offense Department, you know. You know, things like that. You just look at it and you go, boy, everything's the opposite.
Yes. And then, of course, we all... are calm and relaxed now that we have had our leader tell us that he is the one who decides. he's the decider.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he needs to get a little, you know, bone-up course on democracy and,
yeah.
and a republic, actually. Read what a republic is. You know?
I'm so tempted. Of course, it wouldn't be delivered, but you just send a telegram and said, have you ever heard of the Congress?
Yeah.
Or the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, our Constitution is basically, you know, it's become toilet paper in the White House.
Well, I think you see there, James, or you know that, you know, one book that we've come out with has just been doing really well and is Conspiracies and Secret Societies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. when one gets into it and really does research on all these many conspiracies, some that, you know, you thought maybe were just kind of a little off the wall and, you know, maybe that's a little far out. But as you said, you find out that so much of what we know is a lie.
Oh, yeah.
And then one thing, as a former teacher, I have, you know, it's been one of my soapboxes, is that the American public learns its history from the movies. I mean, it's whatever you see in the motion picture version. And sometimes I've noticed one thing. They used to say, the true story of, and then name this man, this historical figure. Now, what they've become a little more honest, and they say, based on a true story. They don't say it's the true story, based on. And we understand for a dramatic production that, you know, things seldom happen in life, you know, where everyone is saying the right dialogue at the right time, and it makes it fascinating. So we realize there have to be literary license. But the problem is people cannot distinguish between what is literary license, what is truth, what is true history. And early in my life, I was blessed to have a grandmother who was the town librarian and who would order special books for me when I would ask. And I was really obsessed with history. What is the fact of history? Not what I'm reading in the textbook in high school or grade school or junior high, but to get to the source material. Sometimes it's very difficult. But we find, you know, whoever wins the war tells the story from that country's point of view, and we have to be very cautious.
Where's the woman's side? You know, it's always his story.
Yeah, it's always his story.
Maybe if the women wrote books about how it felt to lose their husband and their children and their sons and everything, that, and people read those, we'd have a different program running than we do right now.
I think that's very true. I think that's very true. And we are seeing, and, you know, it's almost become a cliche because so many people have said it, we are definitely seeing an emergence of the divine feminine at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you and I and several thousand others didn't need the Da Vinci Code to tell us that. I mean, we've been aware of that for decades.
Well, I think originally, pretty much, the planet was pretty much governed by the feminine.
You know, it's a feminine planet. It's Gaia. It's female. I mean, I have no problem saying that this is, you know, a feminine planet. Mm-hmm. This is the energy. It's the feminine energy that we have to have the masculine, you know, the driving force to see things through. But it's the feminine creative. I mean, when you read, as I'm sure so many of us have, some of the Apocrypha or some of the books that didn't make it into the accepted text. We have, of course, Sophia. We have wisdom, the goddess of wisdom, and the creator, whether you call him Jehovah or Yahweh or whomever. But it is the two of them. And then before all the creation begins, it is Sophia who begins. It is wisdom. And we are told repeatedly in the Psalms and other books to seek wisdom, and then all things will be revealed.
Yes, it's amazing. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said that they're talking about freedom. And I said, well, are you talking about the political freedom or the real freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, what are you talking about? And I said, well, how do you know what hasn't been given to you as a program by your parents, by your environment? And are you really free? I mean, I said, you're under a program, and how do you really know yourself? And are
excellent
you really
point.
Free to be yourself? And it really stumped them for a minute, you know?
No, excellent point. That's an excellent point, James, because, mm-hmm. I mean, how long did it take us to recognize we were being programmed? Even those of us who said, you know, I'm not buying into this, I'm not buying into that, I'm going to be independent. How long did it take us to realize that we were subtly being programmed, and that we you know,
yeah.
even by declaring certain philosophies of independence, that we are actually falling into a system of someone else's program. It's very difficult on the earth plane.
I had to drown myself to figure it out. When I came back, I said, where am I? None of this is working here. And then I just left. I mean, I was doing commercial real estate. I had offices and people working for me and everything, and I had a near-death experience of drowning. And when I came back, I just looked at everything with different eyes and saw how dysfunctional this whole planet is and how programmed we all are, too, as well.
A near-death experience will do it. It will do it.
Yeah.
I had mine when I was 11.
Oh, great.
And
I had about three or four when I was 5 years old. I had bronchial pneumonia, and I was in a coma around the world. And then I had a drowning at 25, you know, another little wake-up call because the first one didn't take.
Right, because when you're very young, you can interpret, you can allow others to interpret or to tell you what that, well, certainly,
you know,
at that time, talking about where you went, leaving the body, and seeing your body, of course, everyone had to conclude you were hallucinating.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I probably had an advantage because I was taken to a Roman Catholic hospital, and the nuns who were in attendance as nurses seemed to sense that I had been somewhere and that I had seen things. And I guess my first testifying or witnessing is sharing the room with me was a very young girl who was dying, and the nuns asked if I would speak to her parents and tell them what I had seen and that their little girl would be going to a beautiful place. And doing that at age 11, being able to share that, you know, certainly set a path for me in life, and recognizing that this was important, that people hear this and that people know that there's a world beyond the physical.
Oh, yeah. It's sad that people are running around now thinking they're a personality and a body, and they basically think that's all they are, is this body and this personality, and they don't realize they're actually an interdimensional being, you know, existing on this continuum, and they can, at any time, you know, if they do their practices, can travel and experience these other planes and dimensions.
There seems, I'm going to ask you, James, what you think about, I know, there seems to be a double-edged sword right now, is that there's so much on television, these alleged reality programs, that have to do with the psychic, the paranormal, the haunting. How do you interpret some of those? I mean, what's your response to some of those?
Well, my first response is I don't have a TV.
So we
live out in the middle of nowhere up on this mountain, and I refuse to get a satellite hookup. So.
Okay.
So a lot of them I miss. Are you talking about like the other side type things, or the other are the really negative movies where they?
No, I'm talking about actual programming on channels like Discovery and A&E and History Channel, where they allegedly follow a group of Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Into homes.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I'm noticing is when I get emails or guest on a radio show and someone calls in and say they're a psychic investigator, I'm appalled that they don't know the literature of the field, they don't know what's gone before, they don't know the name of some of the incredible scientists who have been involved in this field.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is they've seen a television show and maybe read a couple books, and now they're experts.
And they have a card.
Yeah, and they have a card. and I see that as, you know, okay, on one hand, the fact that more and more people are recognizing the world of the paranormal.
Yeah.
But this is, You know, I may not take myself seriously all the time, but I take this field very seriously.
You're asking me, you know, how I felt about that. With me, I went through the teachings of the inner Christ, both inner sensitivity training and the self-mastery discourses, and I studied with yogis and lamas, and I had 30 years intense training in this field, and so like you, I take it very seriously.
Right.
And I don't understand why you can't just walk into a house and clear it. I mean, that's one of the first things we were taught, how to clear unseen negative energy. And, you know, unless you want to make a movie and then you torment it and have it throw things around the room and everything else, but it's actually quite easy to clear unseen negative energy.
Fear and again the dramatizations emphasize, of course, and you know, people like to be scared.
Yeah.
People like a good spooky story. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But young people going out unprepared, they have to realize that they can get into some real trouble.
Oh, and I've seen it firsthand. I've seen people, you know, this one kid, he said he kept going to this haunted house. And he went there with his friends to drink beer, and they're just trying to antagonize this something to happen and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I see this guy, and his eyes are all glassy, and he's having all these accidents and having all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's loaded with hitchhikers. He's got all these entities on him. And I said, well, are you done with that now, you know? I said, we'll help clear this off, but, you know, you've got to gain the wisdom from this experience. This is not a game.
That's it. That's exactly right. People do not understand. You call them hitchhikers. Mm-hmm. I call them spirit parasites. We're talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. That's real. I mean, you do not mess around.
I have a photograph of one hovering over a woman, and it has multiple layers to it, and it's interfacing with her field, too, and you can see different layers of her body as well, and she's twisted and this tormented look on her face. And she got very sick, very, very ill. And it was when I was doing a lot of counseling, and she came to me, and I told her, I said, you know, you've got a hitchhiker on you, and he's very morbid in consciousness, and he's done a lot of drugs, and he just didn't go anywhere when he died. And she had serious flu-like symptoms, just sicker than a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we cleared this guy off of her, and she got well instantly. And the husband said, you know, I don't believe this. It's just all mental. He put a suggestion in your mind. So he gets his film back, and here's the picture of this guy totally in the process of possessing this woman.
Wow.
And he still didn't believe it, and he took it to the police department and said, did somebody die in this building? He said, yeah, the young man died of a drug overdose. It was a transient. And they show him the picture, and they said, that's him. It was that clear. You could see his face, everything. It was amazing.
That's incredible. That's really...
Yeah, so that's hard to refute things like that. You know, there's a lot more evidence out there.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But there will always be those who resist it.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, here again, not to insult anybody, but too often if representatives of Orthodox or organized religions are brought in, they can really stir up trouble. They can make matters worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that happen too as well. You know, the only way you really heal something is through love. You don't condemn it and cast it out and scream at, you know, that just adds energy to it. It just doesn't function that way.
Well, I've been called in on cases, and I'm certain you have too, where someone has, and you can understand because of their conventional background, they've called the priest or they've called the preacher, the pastor. And I know in one situation where the minister appeared and dirty laundry up from the laundry basket was soared through the air and dumped on his head. And another where a priest was whacked with a broom as he ran around the room. I mean, he said, because as you said, they only accelerated and accentuated the energy with that negative, be gone, be gone, you're condemned, you devil. Well, that's the way it's going to act. It's going to say, So you want the devil, huh? I'll show you devil.
Exactly. You know, it could have just been a little old lady with a broom, you know, that wanted him out of the house
yeah.
because she didn't like somebody, you know, throwing daggers at her.
Is that right?
Spiking
right.
daggers or whatever.
Yeah, splashing water on her.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, I'm seeing over and over lately now that people are just, they're flocking away from the churches right now in mass numbers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them very upset about it. A lot of ministers. I was talking to a group in Canada, and there were all these bishops and everybody of all these major churches, and it was kind of a, they shouldn't have asked me this question, you know. They said, what do the ultra-dimensionals or the ETs think about religion? And they're very concerned about it. And I said, well, they see the Creator in all creation. They don't separate. And they don't divide into structured truths and create images and names and try to put the infinite into finite books and teachings. So I said, I think what you really need to look at your congregation, how much love is there?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's why the people are leaving. People want God. They haven't lost faith in God. They've lost faith in the patriarchal left brain,
right.
you know, program
right.
there. And so I told him, I said, I think you should switch places with the nuns. You know, and all the nuns started clapping, you know, and then they started looking at each other going, oh, I don't know about this. It was pretty funny, but the nuns just loved me, you know. What I
yeah, they would, they would.
Yeah, they
well,
loved
that's me. Why I'm so happy that my book, Revelation of the Divine Fire, is being reprinted, being reissued
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah, I read your book. That was I got some really good insights. I love the quotes that establish the God within the individual.
Wow.
And there's a lot of quotes in there. And I like how it showed what people do with, I mean, they have these spiritual experiences, and then they organize them into religions and groups.
Yeah,
and then, and then start separating everybody else out, which is, you know, then they become exactly what they ran away from or hated
I know.
Or fought.
That's so sad when that happens. But even though, well, you know, when the book first came out in 1973, it was excellent timing because that's when kind of after the, you know, the age of Aquarius had,
mm-hmm.
had struck mid-America, and a lot of parents were upset with what how their children were leaving the church and so forth. So I heard from many, you know, that this book helped them through that period. Well, now this period is becoming intensified in a greater cycle. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm just so delighted that the book is coming out again, because I really feel that was, you know, a book that was given to me. It was presented to me and,
yeah.
by what I call a multidimensional, or you call ultra-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I think we're saying exactly the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And one of the times in my life, you know, when a being appeared to me and put me asleep, because my head won't just shut up, you know, I'm always thinking, what this?
Mm-hmm.
And just silenced me, and when I awakened, you know, I had the outline and the whole structure of the book.
Yeah, it's interesting how that goes.
You
know, just recently I was trying to communicate with somebody. I won't mention his name, but he's a very well-known being that many people pray to out there. But basically, same thing happened to me. What he was saying to me was, I said, do you want me to write something? No. Do you want me to? And the next thing you know, I was out. And I said, is there a message? He said, yes. And I said, do you want me to write it? Do you want me to sit down and start writing it? No. And next thing I'm out. And then I wake up and I have the whole message.
It's just remarkable because, we're the kind of people that we've been questioning things ever since we were children, right, James?
Oh, yeah.
And so even though, you know, well, anyway, that's why our conscious self, our ego self, has to be put aside, when it's so much easier to transmit that knowledge. Now, I've been wanting to ask you, because we haven't spoken for quite a while, what type of sightings are you getting up there now? I know that, like you say, that's UFO Central up there.
Yeah.
What's been happening recently? Can you tell?
Yeah, well, what's happening here is that it's a vortex. It's an incredible energy place here, and people come on the property and they just feel it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the veils between dimensions are very thin.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're having almost everything go on here, which is interesting. It's 99% positive. We make sure and keep out anything that doesn't belong here.
Good.
You know, that's not part of the awakening healing
process.
Good. But I've only had just maybe a couple negative experiences, and that wasn't even here on the ranch. That was somewhere else. But, and, you know, that could have been my own program in connecting
mm-hmm.
with some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, what I've been experiencing here is it's hard to pigeonhole this because we have Pleiadian ships coming in. We have Syrian ships, these Arcturian ships. I'm getting to recognize who's who just by looking at their ships, what kind of ships they are, and the energies that they're emitting.
Really?
But there's so many different ships here. They're coming in every color, shape, and size. Some are bigger than cities. They're immense ships. We have pink ones, green ones, blue ones. You know? We've had giant pyramids fly over, the big triangular ships as well. Cylinders. It's interesting. We're seeing almost everything.
Now, are you still getting good photographs?
Yeah, we are. Most of the ships we're seeing are light ships.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're brilliant lights. And when we go into the light, we start seeing structure. And some look as big as aircraft carriers. I have a beautiful ship that was hovering over the ranch here that Steve Marino took a picture of it and blew it up, and it looks like a big golden aircraft carrier in the sky. It's
wow.
Amazing. But there's you know, a lot of these. We even have a lot of metallic ships that we're getting pictures of with strange antennas on them.
Well, so many people have been writing to me and saying and asking and hoping, are we getting a flap right now? I mean, there's O'Hare, there's North Carolina, there's Kansas, there's France. It seems though the media is being forced to pay attention once again. Do you think we're really going to get a flap right now? Or?
Oh, definitely. We're in it right now, and it's going to escalate. It's going to be intense all the way up till November or December. It's just going to keep happening. And, you know, it's going to be undeniable here pretty soon. I think eventually there's just going to be almost wall-to-wall ships up there.
Well, I don't have to tell you, but there's just, you know, the last few years, there's just been a media shutdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I had an ABC camera crew out here, and we told them exactly when the ship would come in, and it did. It appeared right on schedule.
Right.
They didn't air it. They
it didn't? Aired,
no, they... They
well, maybe it's going to be coming up in the special. Or?
Yeah, they took some more bland stuff, and then I had actually Jay Leno sent a crew out here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they got a beautiful two ships coming right at each other, and then switching courses
right,
and going
right.
off in different directions.
Right.
They got really good footage. They didn't air it.
Why
they,
not?
They were going to do a whole. We'll have to ask Jay Leno what happened to it.
Well, that's incredible. I witnessed that once. You know, where they come at each other and.
Oh, yeah, and they've got it on. I mean, they brought up a really nice camera, and they got the whole thing on film. They got quite a few. So we had one time I had about, I don't know how many Boeing engineers have been here, but I had two of the top, you know, project people there, and I've had, I was actually on the Art Bell show, and I brought one of the Skunk Works guys, and the Boeing guys came on, and they went on the air twice on the Art Bell show, and they
right.
said, "Art, these aren't ours. These are amazing. They're immense. One had 7 points of light on it, and it powered up right over the mountain and came right at us and kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it stopped and then backed up. And all these Boeing engineers are standing there watching it, you know, and, you know, not one of them got a picture.
Because they were standing there just awestruck.
Yeah, they were just totally awestruck of it.
But I don't understand why Leno spends the money, not that, you know, that would bend him out of shape, but to spend money, go up there, get good, why not? You'd think that would just be dynamite for him to show.
Well, I thought so, too. Man, you know, they're trying to make a joke out of the whole thing.
Well.
And, you know, which I knew they would do anyway.
Of course.
But, you know, I just kept bringing it back on track, you know, said, you know, this is real. This is, you know, you can joke all you want. And I said, I love humor. I'm all into humor and everything, but I said, this is... this is the real deal. And I said, you're going to see for yourself that you're going to
How did the cameraman react?
Oh, they loved it. They thought it was awesome. They were all excited. And, you know, they said, we're coming back. They definitely said they want to come back. But, you know, the good news is that I have two, I can't really talk about them right now, but they're going to break in spring. But they're major movies.
Oh, great.
They're coming out. They're going to hit all the theaters, and they cover everything going on here. And they have the footage. They have
fabulous,
good footage of two big ships coming in together, both powering up at the same time and lighting up the sky with lasers going up to them, everything.
Fantastic. So well, I hope you let me know so I can help you promote it.
Oh, definitely. I definitely will. We're just, I'm not sure. I've got to find out, too, when they're going to, I think they said they'd bring it out in spring.
Oh, that's exciting.
But it's a wonderful,
As you say, James, even if, excuse me, someone presents it like Jay Leno,
mm-hmm.
and makes kind of a humorous facade laid over it, it doesn't matter because the people who are supposed to see it and who will get awareness will see it.
Oh, I agree. I you know, they all say any press is good press.
Right.
So, but then I have to deal with the crackpot emails, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for people.
Yeah.
But I don't mind, you know.
No.
It's like, I know what I know. I know what I've experienced, and I have no doubt whatsoever. So.
Well, you see, we've both experienced skepticism and skeptics, and we both had skeptics with us when they've had an undeniable experience.
Oh yeah.
Some of them, I mean, they really were totally psychologically unprepared. I know you've seen this.
Oh, a lot of times.
Sometimes they, I mean, you have to counsel them because they just fall apart. Because it's a complete reversal,
yeah,
or even denial of everything that they've believed, been taught to believe, and in some way have made a dogma out of, have made a religion out of disbelief,
yeah,
made a religion out of negativity. And when they actually witness, some of them just, and that's what I fear about the future, is that people who have not had a spiritual base are not going to be able to make the transition. And that's where my prayers and my energy, and I would guess yours goes too, is trying to help these people.
Exactly, prepare the way. You know, I had, luckily, the two Boeing engineer people, they had a foundation in, you know, quantum physics and things like that, so it was okay for them, but I had it took them about a week to settle down after the experience. That's what they told me. They said it just turned their world upside down. But, you know, I had a Kung Fu master and a Qigong master here, and when he saw the ship, he just froze, and it really turned him upside down. And you think about this. Here's this totally disciplined person.
Yes.
Fearless. And these ships power up, drop down, and fly over our heads. And he just, I mean, I was snapping my fingers in front of his face trying to get him to snap out of it. And then I pointed at the camera he had on his shoulder, you know, a $7,000 camera, which he didn't even know was there after the experience. So it's, you know, people think, they go, oh, I want to see a ship. I'm ready. I want to get on a ship and everything. We think we are ready. But when that event happens, I mean, it brings everything up for us.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, either all of our fears, or we're just in awe, and we just freeze because our whole, you know, psyche just kind of goes wacko when it happens.
Well, so many people have excoriated cameramen who have had their camera, $7,000, whatever, and did not capture the experience. But I've seen it, and you've seen it. You just told about it.
Yeah.
They're completely awestruck. They, as you said, he even forgot he had the camera.
Yeah, we had, when we had the other guys, the other Boeing guys out there, they had all these cameras, all this equipment. Not one of them, and when this huge ship came in really low, not one of them got a shot of it.
And that's sad, but understandable. I mean, I've had good friends, police officers, who had experiences, they were telling me about it, and I said, look, you know, I know you have a camera all the time, why didn't you get it? And they just have this I'm going to think about taking a picture when I'm seeing this. You know, they don't want to be distracted. They're just totally absorbed.
Mm-hmm. You know, did you? I was looking at speaking about what's being done on our behalf. You know, I know that they've been blasting quite a few meteors out of the sky that would have had quite an impact on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that there's some incredible NASA photos where they've been blocking immense sun flares that would have been like kill shots for the Earth facing the sun.
Mm.
And another thing they did is Chernobyl, when it did the meltdown, there was a ship that flew over Chernobyl and sent a beam right down into the where it was melting down there into the reactor, and all of the readings just dropped immensely.
Mm.
So, and all these Russian scientists went on record and said this did happen, all these engineers. So they have done so much on our behalf. I know they've been altering fault lines and you know, a lot of the psychics that saw tremendous destruction in San Francisco and in some of these other places were actually correct when they saw it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there was a lot of intervention on that, and people have no idea how much is being done
on their behalf.
Not just by the ETs, but by the other realms as well, you know, the Ascended Masters and Angelic Kingdoms. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no idea how much, you know, work is being done on our behalf.
And No.
I think it's time to get with the program, you know, and start getting on the team.
Well, it's... I don't know. I've always been a cockeyed optimist.
Yeah.
But sometimes, James, it's getting hard.
It is.
Sometimes, I mean, you know.
Was that Eckhart Tolle said it's a tragic comedy or something like
that?
Yeah. When he was talking about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
That's all you can do is laugh at it. I mean,
it's
gotten so ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I feel, comedy of the absurd.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny, these people were sitting there arguing about, I can't remember, there's some spiritual matter, and I started laughing. They said, what's so funny? And I said, do you believe God's omnipresent? And they said, yes. And I said, well, why is God arguing with God? they couldn't have an answer, you know, it kind of stopped the argument.
Well, and sometimes... I've started laughing at situation, and someone says to me, I thought you took this all so seriously. Why are you laughing? And I said, otherwise I would cry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to laugh. You have to keep a sense of humor about this. It is comedy of the absurd. And it seems, you know, that we're just going around and around and around. And I realize this is Schoolhouse Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I realize we're not all going to get it at the same time. But it seems that here again, we have a physical law. The more we are working in the light, the more the agents of darkness will try to snuff it out.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to remember that, too. I mean, we truly are dealing with powers and principalities.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of those powers and principalities like us.
You know, that's, I run into that, I'm sure you do too, quite a bit, but they go, well, you know, conscious creates reality, so you created that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just said, well, I think it was here before I incarnated. And, you know, I said, I always ask myself, did Jesus wake up in the morning and say, I think I might go down and buy a couple nails and, you know, and a cross? And see if I can get somebody to take care of this, you know, for me. I said, you know, I don't think so. I said, I think that there are some people that chose to walk certain paths down here and to bring enlightenment to the planet. But
yes.
I have trouble thinking that they're that screwed up that they projected all that outside of themselves and created all that hostility towards them.
Yeah.
I said, just being a mirror, you know, being holding that much light, you're going to reflect back to everybody, you know, what they love and don't love about themselves. And
right.
People would rather break the mirror than heal or move to the next level.
Yeah, and that's, again, we have to recognize that there is free will.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we can't, and that was difficult for me, I have to admit. When I was younger, I really felt for a time that I was caretaker of the universe. And when I resigned as caretaker of the universe, my life, my cross became so much lighter.
Yeah, I've got to turn those papers in. Those resignation papers. I'm still doing that every once in a while.
Yeah.
I get hooked into there, you know, and I okay, wait a second, you know, everybody's eternal. They're all learning lessons here.
Right.
You know, I got to back out of this.
Right.
And I got to catch myself, you know, not to get sucked into the.
No, I mean it still, you know, grabs me every once in a while. But as
yeah.
I said, I mean.
But it grabs me as a comedy, like you were talking about. Right now, I look at it and I just said, no, I don't even think I can even go there anymore. It's so absurd.
Right.
What seems to be happening on the planet right now. But, you know, I can see there is a big movement right now, and people are just done with it. You know, they're so weary of this social consciousness.
Well,
what's going on?
And again, that's where I get sucked in, because I am so concerned about the youth of today.
Mm-hmm.
I just see on the faces of so many despair, depression, potential suicide.
Oh, yeah.
So many of them feel, what's the use?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to somehow touch them and teach them to lighten up, that there is hope, that there is a meaning, a purpose, and a function to their lives, that they do have a mission, that they can realize their mission, whether they fulfill the mission and complete the mission. I believe in Goethe when he said, the striving is more important than the goal. At least strive. It's the action and the energy of striving that's important.
Oh, yeah. I have a ranch up here, a retreat center, and I bring the best of the best businesses up here all the time and do lectures and have, I let all the kids come in free, whoever wants to come in.
Oh, that's great.
But, right now I have a whole group of 14-year-old girls out there sky watching. You know,
marvelous.
Calling on the UFOs.
Marvelous.
So, it's funny that one girl came up here and wanted to have her birthday party up here, so she invited all her friends, and so they're all out there.
That's
watching,
great, James.
Watching UFOs right now.
That's wonderful.
I always feel I could do more. You know,
I know.
I'm just one person, and this is a big, you know.
I know.
A big event here.
And that's when I had to resign as caretaker of the
universe. Yeah. I know. That's what, I built this big, giant place here, and I built a conference building and all this stuff here up at the ranch.
I hope someday Sherry and I can get up to visit.
Oh, anytime. You're more than welcome to come, and you would just love it here.
Oh,
you're
I know.
Like a kid in a playground.
That's right.
You know, if you just take your camera here, any kind of digital, even just plain throwaway cameras, regular film, and shoot around the property here, when you get your film back, you'll have all these paranormal photographs. It's just amazing.
Mm.
And, light spheres, the orbs. We've had these mists appear out of nowhere, and beings stepping out of the mist. It's amazing. You know, hooded beings with robes, all kinds of things.
Now, I would guess that was also a very sacred medicine area before the white man came.
You know, I'm almost positive it is, because I found some, I was told that they used to hang out here. There used to be a camp here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did ceremony here. And I've had quite a few Native American elders come here,
mm-hmm.
and do
mm-hmm.
ceremony. And they're just blown away by what's going on here.
Yeah, I would just feel certain that with that kind of energy, it's been a vortex area. It's been a
mm-hmm.
sacred area just for a long time. And I know you've brought a lot of wonderful energy to it, James, but I think you've activated a lot of marvelous wisdom that's soaked into the very environment there.
Oh, it definitely is. It was here when I got here. I felt
mm-hmm.
it, and then we've
mm-hmm.
been working with it and, you know, kind of amplifying it.
And I'm sure that's why you were drawn there.
Oh, exactly. You know, we have everybody come here. It's a place that's open for everybody, but it's not. It doesn't follow any, it's eclectic. It won't follow any one guru or teacher.
Right.
Or,
which is the way. Exactly. Is to follow no way.
Yeah, I want everybody to come here and talk. You know, bring the lamas, the yogis, the physicists, bring everybody here together and communicate and bring, you know, the elders come here and they do their, you know, sweat lodges and other ceremonies. So it's nice just bringing everybody together here. That's my dream, and it's finally starting to manifest.
That's wonderful.
And hopefully I can get it going so I can go on to another dream.
Well, we always need those dreams, don't we?
Yeah. I'm ready for a new planet, but I'm not finished here quite yet. But,
no. You know, Sherry and I say so often, you know, I think we got off at the wrong stop.
Yeah.
But while we're here, we should be doing something constructive to make it better.
That's what I told people. I just stopped in to get some sandals a while back and got caught here. So, but you just got to do what you can do in the moment, I guess. That's it.
You know, again, to quote my spiritual mentor, Goethe, you know, he said, if everyone would clean his own front step, then the whole world will be clean. So if everyone takes care of his own little sphere of reality, then soon we will change the greater reality.
Well, I think it's so important right now. I'm just seeing, you know, the omnipresence is coming back, you know, due to popular demand. You know, people are starting to see the Creator in all creation and each other. And I really do think the original plan was for us to live in harmony with each other in nature. And I think now people are finally have done everything else but that, and now they're saying, okay, we've experienced everything else. Let's go back to the original plan.
Well, that's our prayer, isn't it?
That's what we're
striving for. That's what we want to see, and God willing, we'll see it clearer and clearer before we leave the stage.
It's so damn simple. It's amazing. If you just you know, live in service to humanity and nature and do everything in the highest and best good, you know, for humanity and nature. It's not that complicated. We could experience heaven on earth. But, you know, they all say, well, no, that's just way too simplistic. And I said, no, it's not mm-hmm. simplistic. I mm-hmm. said, it's reality. And what you're telling me is you have different motive and intent.
Yes. And that's what the sacred teachers and the of every path, it's the same. It's the oneness.
Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, everything's connected.
And it is so simple.
Mm-hmm.
The outline is so simple, but we complicate it with our egos and our selfish demands. And
oh, yeah. This llama I study with. Whoops. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, this lama that I study with, he said that the reason there's so few enlightened beings on this planet, he says, because it's so damn simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said all you do is focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. But too many
of us insist upon having categories and definitions and ultimate plans and blueprints and just complicate it so needlessly.
Well, you know, what always struck me as funny is that how do you separate?
Yeah, see if I can get on the show
from omnipresence.
Mm-hmm. I think we have something interfering. Are you still there, James?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're. But you know, the simplicity of it is how do you separate yourself from omnipresence or the other children of God and all their diversity or nature? You can't.
You can't.
And
you
so
can't.
It's time to act accordingly. It's not. You know, we don't need all these gurus and all these prophets and teachers and everything to realize that it's all connected and, you know, God is within everyone and everything.
That's right. That's right.
It's simple.
It's that simple.
But how do we get to the simplicity? That's the trick.
And every master worth his divine salt has said those very words.
Exactly. I know you've said them in quite a few of your books there.
Well, if, you know, again, we'll take a leaf from modern advertising. If you say it often enough, maybe some people will hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we're reaching the end of the hour here, so we'll probably have to wrap it up. Do you have a website that you'd like for us to give out?
Oh, yes, please. And it's just as simple as can be. It's www.brad, B-R-A-D, and, spell out and, not an ampersand, A-N-D, Sherry, Sherry.com, bradandsherry.com.
And they can get basically any of your books there.
Yes, it's all connected. So that the new book, Divine Fire, which is, you know, a former book coming out, and we have our many animal books, we have our miracle series, and they're all listed on the website. So thank you for mentioning that.
Well, I've got to get some lessons on this distribution from you, because I definitely don't have 17 million copies out there. I'm self-published, and I have one in its fifth printing already right now.
Well, that's great.
Fifth printing.
That's
but,
great.
I definitely need to get these books out. I'll send you a copy of both books.
Well, thank you.
And then have you take a look at them, and maybe you can give me some expertise in
that. I would be delighted, James.
In that manner. Well, we've hit the top of the hour, so we're going to have to sign off. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk with you. We should do this more often.
Definitely. Well, I'll have you on as a regular here.
Well, thank you. That would be great. That would be wonderful. That would
be awesome. I know, you know, Michal Ledwith has got some great stuff, and he comes on quite a bit. And
mm-hmm.
We have some other top guests. But,
great.
If you have anything, you know, burning you want to get out there, just give me a ring, and we'll get you on the show.
Terrific.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll have you back again soon.
My pleasure, and many blessings.
All right. Many blessings. Good night.
Good night.
James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.